Räddade oss Cloudsteel av den bästa flygare i tävlingen. Jaha, Rainbow Dash. Verkar som dina färdigheter räddade oss igen. I alla fall Sorens äppelpaj. I alla fall Sorens äppelpaj. Sorens äppelpaj. Äppelpaj. Paj. Paj.
Jaha, du gillar också paj. Det finns ananaspaj. Äppelpannkakor, hallonpaj, rabarberpaj och så min favorit såklart, äppelpaj. I'm the S to the P-I-T, F-I-R-E, and ain't no other pony who says äppelpaj like me, I'm Spitfire-licious.
You are tuned in to CITR 101.9 FM, and this is Skalds Hall, and we are here with a very special guest from Stockholm, Sweden, Annalie Heed. Hello.
Hi.
And good evening to you, for it's evening where you are now.
Yes, it is. Good evening, or good...
afternoon, yes.
Good afternoon.
To get started, why don't you briefly tell our listeners, who is Annalie Heed?
Well, I'm a Swedish comedian, impersonator, voice actor, singer, and a very nice person from Sweden, yeah. It's all in my card. The nice person bit as well.
The nice person bit. So you started as a stand-up comic. How did that begin?
Well, I was writing some sketch comedy, some skits for one of Sweden's biggest radio stations because I had a friend there and she said that, oh, you should try this. You're so funny. You should try this. And I said, okay. And then when I started to write these things, she said to me that I really should try to be a stand-up comedian as well because she and her husband is, and well, they are stand-up comedians. So they asked me. And I said, oh, well, I've never been to any live performance. So they showed me, they took me to a club and they showed me some stand-up. And I looked at the stage and I was like, I could do this. And then the next week I was up on stage.
Did you have any previous performance background before you did that?
Some improv theater and theater classes. So, and I always, if there's stage, I'm up there. So I'm always... being that girl, if there is a big store opening and there's like, oh, we have a karaoke scene and whoever can come up here and you will win a prize. I'm like first in line. Yeah, I can do it. I was that girl. Now I don't, but I was like, oh, yeah, I can do it.
Do you still do stand up?
Yeah, but not that much as I used to because 3 years ago, I had a baby, and now I can't travel around in Sweden as much as I did before, because I was out on the roads and I was performing a couple of times a week, and it was long train rides and plane rides, and not that much anymore. But I'm writing, I'm still working with comedy in radio, and I'm doing sketches and skit comedy, so. A lot of it right now.
When it comes to stand-up comic work, how do you go about booking events now?
They call me. I never look for work. They call me, and if I'm available, I take it. And if I'm not, I say, sorry, you have to call, not a comic.
How do you get your material?
From everyday life, and then I'm an impersonator as well, so I do a lot of celebrity voices, mostly in Swedish. It's like 95% Swedish celebrities I do, so I just watch them and what they're doing. I'm trying to read about them every day in the papers, and if they're up to something special, I put it in my comedy, if it's what's happening right now, so people can relate. Maybe people have seen it on TV or in the papers, and then I do what they do, but I put a twist on it.
Have you ever had to deal with rude audience members?
Yeah, people... Some people had too much to drink, and they don't listen, so they started chat with their friends, like, oh, have you seen the new show? And then it's, like, kind of hard, because people... The people in the front rows, they really want to see the show, and the people in the back rows are those who had a little bit too much. So it has happened that the crowd has started fighting with each other. Just, oh, you be quiet now.
No, no, we want to talk and have fun.
No, this is fun. Look at her. So, yeah. Just so much you can do. You can just please try to be quiet and then try to joke about it and then, yeah.
And from here, you started doing voiceover for animation?
Yeah. I was asked of one of the biggest dubbing companies in Sweden because they have somebody saw me at a club and I was doing a lot of celebrity voices and they called me and they were like, oh, would you be interested in doing voiceovers for cartoons and stuff? And I was like, yes, I would love that. So I tried it and then I never left the studio.
Did you already have an agent at this point?
No. The funny thing is, in Sweden, we don't have agents.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
So,
I wish we had.
How do you end up finding out about jobs?
The studios, they call me. I guess they're happy with what I'm doing, so they call me. They call me a couple of times a week and give me new gigs.
When you started doing voiceover, what skills did you have that you felt helped you in this career?
The impersonating. The impersonating. it helped me so much because I hear the original voice and I can try to sound like that one. And also my singing background, because musicality is very important, especially when you're dubbing or doing ADR, because you have to really match the time and everything, the timing. So that helped me.
Let's walk through a typical job process then for a voiceover actor. How do auditions work?
It usually starts with the studio or one of the studios calling me and they say, hey, you want to come for a voice test on this new show? And I say, yes, I want to do that. And I go to the studio and it's usually 3 or 5, sometimes 10 people that tries out for the roles. And I get to do like 10 or 15 lines and then they save it and then they... The ones who orders the show take a listen to it and then they decide everything. And we don't usually know anything about the show when we go in to the studio.
And how far in advance do you get your scripts or sides?
I never get them in advance.
Really?
Never. No, it's very secretive. So I go into the studio and it's like, okay, so this is the time. Just start here. Okay, now.
You do them almost as cold reads?
Yes, it's cold reads. Everything. Wow. So if I'm lucky, I have the time to read what it says before I record it. I mean, when the sound engineer is saving what I just said, if I have like half a minute, I can read through the next line. And if it's a long line, I ask if I, oh, wait a minute, I have to read this. And then okay, now I can do it.
You don't have a whole lot of time to build a character while you're auditioning. So let's imagine. Yeah. Let's imagine you've got the part. How do you then go about creating that character?
Well, it depends. If there are a lot of information on the internet, I just sweep through it and I read everything I can find. And if I find whole episodes, I try to watch as much as I can. Because I'm a nerd in that way. I really like to watch the show and to know the character before I go into the studio. If I can, if I had a chance to do that, I love to do that. So I know more. I mean we get a little paper with a biography. This is the character, this is what he or she likes and enjoys, and this is what, yeah, you know. Not everyone does this, but I do it a lot because I really want to know who it is I'm portraying in Swedish.
Do you work with a director to build a character?
Sometimes yes and sometimes no. In some shows, in the big Disney shows and stuff, there's always a director and a sound engineer, so we're 3 people who agrees about everything. But some shows, I'm just working with the sound engineer. Sometimes they can direct as well. I mean, just like a little bit of direction. But sometimes it's just me, up to me, and then in those shows, they only use really experienced people so they can direct themselves.
In some of the dubbing you do, you don't have a director?
Yes.
Wow.
I don't. So I go like, okay, you do it again. Okay, but I don't want to do it again. Oh, you have to do it again. I don't want. Then you know. I'd be my own director.
Right.
No more mistakes. No.
Well, that's going to be fascinating tidbit for a lot of people here, because even with dubbing we do in Canada, we always have a director. You know, we bring in a lot of stuff from Japan to dub here.
Yeah.
But there's always a director. It's never just the engineer. So that's interesting. What about with doing prelay? If you're doing a show that hasn't been produced anywhere else, is that any different?
Yes, that's very different, because I've only done prelay for some computer games and that is in Swedish and some in English. And, well, it is because then the clients are always there and the production company, someone from them, and a director and sound engineer. So there's a lot of people and me. So that's different.
When you record, do you typically record on your own or with the rest of the cast?
Always alone in Sweden.
How do you find that?
I'm very used to it because when I'm recording comedy for radio, there are a lot of people in the same room. That I love that, because you can really feed off each other, you can really, the energy and everything. But I'm really used to, especially the dubbing process, to just act against the recorded American voices. And we always have, we can choose if we want to record against the Swedish actors or the Americans, but I always choose the Americans because sometimes not all of the Swedish actors has been into the studio yet, so it's like a mixture, like one character speaks American and one character speaks Swedish, so it's like, no, I just go with one.
Just to plug our hometown, a lot of the quote-unquote American voices you will often be hearing are actually Canadians.
I know.
How many characters do you typically play on a show?
It really depends. If I'm doing a very big role, it can stay with just one. But usually they use me to do a lot of different roles because I have a very wide vocal range. So I do a lot of kids' voices and old lady voices, and I always get to play evil. I don't know why. And then I do like the very, very, very pitched, very high voices, you know? So a lot of different voices in shows, mostly.
Is there a maximum or minimum number of roles that you have to play?
No, never. It depends. I can go and do one show and I have one role, and then the next show, the day after, I can have like 15 roles. So it's different.
What about the business side of that? Do you get paid like per role or per hour?
Per hour in Sweden.
So you've done a lot of work. How long have you been doing animation?
5 years animation. And then before that, and still a lot of TV commercials and radio commercials and radio. So, and computer games. Well, everything.
Have you ever done in front of the camera work?
A little. I've done a couple of commercials a couple of years ago. Yeah. I always got to play the bimbo. it was very much fun, but I think I like to be only the voice, because I know that I'm in total control. I mean, I know that I can do what I'm supposed to do with my voice, but if I'm in front of the camera, it's like, okay, I gotta keep track of how I look and how I smile and how I move, and then the voice. So I guess I'm a little bit too lazy for on-camera stuff.
How's doing commercial voiceover different from animation?
Oh, it's very different because a lot of the clients want kind of the same. And sometimes it can be something really funny with a funny accent or something, but it's mostly very the typical voice, you know, this one, the typical one, buy this and buy that. So.
And for commercials, do you often have directors?
Yeah, mostly, yeah.
After all of these years of being in show business, you have a very interesting story that many actors have. You've become well known all over the world for your localization Swedish dub of Spitfire from My Little Pony, Friendship is Magic.
Yes.
What has that been like?
It's been wonderful. I'm enjoying it. It's so much fun. And so, I mean, it was such a surprise. I could never imagine this. So I'm very happy.
How did you find out that you had all of a sudden this huge fan base?
I didn't know about the Bronies before I started to dub My Little Pony. And then I got an invitation for a German convention called GalaCon last summer, and I got it in May, like a year ago, the invitation, and they asked me if I would be interested to go there as a guest of honor. And I thought, okay, so it's about My Little Pony, and they wrote that you play the character Spitfire. And I thought, I voice Spike and Sweetie Belle and Cherry Lee and Rainbow Dash's singing voice and a lot of other characters in the show. So I was like, Spitfire, she had like 3 lines or something. So I really couldn't understand. And then I was like, and it's in Swedish. Why would you? And they sent me an email, and it was like, haven't you seen this? And it was the address to a YouTube clip that somebody made. And then I saw that, wow, that was a lot of views on that one. It was like 180,000 views and a lot of likes. So I was like, okay, wow. I was so surprised.
What was it like to finally come face to face and meet your fan base when you went to the convention?
It was wonderful. It was fantastic. I mean, there was so much love and joy and creativity and just so much happiness. And it was wonderful. I got a lot of hugs.
Have you managed to meet any of the other voiceover performers who've worked on other dubs of the show?
Yeah. In Germany, I met the German Twilight, Julia Meinen. So I met one, and this year I'm going to GalaCon as well, so I'm going to meet Andrea Liebman and Peter New.
Yes, and for those of us listening, Andrea Liebman does Pinkie Pie and Fluttershy, and Peter New is Big Macintosh. You are fairly active on Twitter as well, aren't you?
Yes, some days yes and some days no. It depends how much time I have.
How did that get started?
It was actually the GalaCon gang who asked me if I could start Twitter. And I thought, okay, well, to do a little PR for the convention, of course, I can do that. And then I thought before I used it, I was like, I'm never gonna Twitter. I don't have the time for that. No, why should I do that? Who care? I mean, wow. Should I Twitter like, today I had an apple, yay. But then I started Twitter and I stayed there, and now I really love it, and I can't imagine leaving it.
Do you have any upcoming advice for anyone who might be seriously considering doing voiceover as a career?
Well, my advice would be to really listen to your voice, record it over and over and then over again, and listen to it, and get to know it, and don't be afraid to listen to it. And be proud of it, and then try to see what happens if you stretch it and do the craziest sound you can ever do, and then see if you can use that one. And then make a good voice demo, and then send it to people, and then call them. That's what I heard people do, so I'm lucky I didn't have to do that, but I would. I think if I wasn't in this, I would get it.
And do you have any upcoming projects that you would like to talk about or people to know about?
No, not that I can talk about right now. Too much secrets.
Too many secrets, I see.
I want to say a lot of things, but I can't, so.
Well, what about the upcoming GalaCon? Can you tell us a bit about that?
Oh, yeah. It's going to be, the beginning of August. And it's going to be in a real nice venue in Ludwigsburg. Yep, it's going to be a lot of fun. Like something like last year, it's going to be even more better because it's even more people this year.
Well, thank you very much for being on our show.
Well, thank you for inviting me.
Yes, and this is Scald's Hall at CITR 101.9 FM, and you were just listening to Annalie Heed. Don't go away, we'll be right back.
At Dunkin' Donuts, each and every
radio show
is brewed fresh and served fresh at the peak of its flavor. If you're a tough customer, only the taste of this
radio show
will do. So go ahead, let Dunkin' Donuts make your
radio experience
exquisite.
Indeed.
Dunkin' Donuts, serving sweet treats from the Pop Underground, Thursdays, noon to 1.
Uh-huh. And welcome back to us live here at CITR 101.9 FM. And that was our exclusive interview with Annalee Heed. And forgive the tiny little hiccups in the technical side of things. We are using a new software interface, and I get to cut my teeth with my most sensitive interview to date. Go me. Anyway, it is coming up to 20 past 1 here in beautiful Vancouver at CITR 101.9 FM, and we are going to move on to the more kickback, sit back and relax and listen to a story segment of our show. And given that our guest was Annalee Heed, I decided that title appropriately, we would listen to The Redheaded Woman, which is a tale of suspense from the old radio series Suspense. And we're going to be taking a listen to that in just a moment here on CITR 101.9 FM. So don't go away.
In workshops, garages, kitchen tables all around Metro Vancouver, people make stuff. Once a year, we gather to show off the stuff we make, to teach and to learn, from urban gardeners to quilters to robot makers. Hey, guys! I'm trying to make a promo!
Sorry!
Join us at Vancouver Mini Maker Fair, Saturday and Sunday, June 1st and 2nd at the PNE Forum. For more info and to buy tickets, visit vancouver.makerfair.ca. That's Maker Faire with an E!
Suspense. Autolite and its 96,000 dealers present Miss Lucille Ball and Mr. Desi Arnaz in The Red-Headed Woman, a suspense play produced and edited by William Spear.
Well, Hap, are you over your cold?
Oh, no, Harlow, I still feel run down.
Hey, watch your words. We're on for Autolite Stay Full batteries, remember? And Autolite has done everything to keep these brawny bundles of endless energy from running down. Why, Autolite Stay Full batteries have extra water reserve above the plates to foil failure from lack of liquid. Need water only 3 times a year in normal car use. They've even got fiberglass retaining mats at every positive plate for longer battery life. Why, in recent tests based on SAE life cycle standards, Autolite Stay Full batteries gave 70% longer average life than batteries without Stay Full features. So, friends, see your Autolite battery dealer and get an Autolite Stay Full battery for your car. You're always right with Autolite.
And now, with The Red-Headed Woman, and with the performance of Desi Arnaz and Lucille Ball, Autolite hopes once again to keep you in suspense.
Jensen Corporation. Hello?
Hello, Linda?
Yes. Oh, hello, Frank. Oh, look, darling, I thought I told you not to call
me. I know.
Me.
I shouldn't call you at the office. I'm sorry, Redhead, but I had to talk to you. You see, I...
Well, darling, you sound so grim. Is there anything wrong?
Oh, this is going to be tough, Linda, but you see, it's kind of hard to explain, but...
Well, go on, dear. You can tell me anything. You know that.
Oh, you're sure swell, Linda. That's why it's so hard to tell you.
Frank, you haven't committed a murder or anything, have you?
Oh, no, of course not.
Well, what is it, then?
Linda, please, I tried to tell you last night. I know it's hard to justify, but...
But what? Frank, you've met someone else, is that it?
Yes, Linda. I'm sorry.
Oh, it's quite all right. Is she blonde or brunette?
Oh, honestly, honey, Linda, I couldn't help it. It was one of these things. It just happens. Sometimes things do.
Well, you don't have to explain, Frank. I'll send your ring back this afternoon. I hope it fits her. Good luck. Tears came, and then I tried to laugh it off. And then I felt myself getting good and mad. What a fool I'd been. For 2 years, my every thought, my every move had been patterned toward Frank's wishes and welfare. Other girls, the selfish type, were holding their men. It was, well, I'd made up my mind that the future would be different. From that minute on, I'd think of myself first, last, and always. Suddenly, I wanted to get away, do things, have beautiful clothes, money, especially money. I suppose it's a kind of independence any woman wants to grab for in a moment like that, when she's found out you can't depend on a man.
Good morning, Glinda.
Oh, good morning, Mr. Jensen.
Feeling all right?
Of course. Why shouldn't I?
Well, I don't know. You just seemed a little despondent.
No, I'm fine.
Good, good, good. Will you put this away for me?
What? Payroll money? Well, it's only the 5th, isn't it?
I'm going to Florida for a couple of weeks, Linda.
Oh.
I drew the payroll money today because I'm leaving tomorrow.
Oh, that sounds wonderful.
Yes, doesn't it? I've been thinking about it for years. Mm. Say, why don't you take a few days off while I'm gone, Linda?
What?
Oh. Why don't you, Linda? It's a good idea. Certainly, I won't be needing you.
Well, I could come in on the 14th and handle the payroll.
Oh, you needn't bother. I can get Walters.
Well, he's pretty busy, Mr. Jensen. I'll come back and handle it. I'll just be in the country somewhere close by. Thank you, Mr. Jensen. Looking back, I suppose I thought of stealing the payroll right then. I must have, for a few minutes after Mr. Jensen left, I visualized how easy it would be. Only he and I had the combination to the safe. He'd be far away in Florida for 2 whole weeks. I could leave the next day. I could have at least 10 days before anyone could find out anything was wrong. I thought about Frank and that brush-off he'd given me. How easily I might forget him in new surroundings. Well, when I closed the office that evening, I took the envelope with $21,000 in bills and stuffed it into my handbag. Then, I don't know why, I took the gun Mr. Jensen always kept in the safe. Next morning, I left Kansas City and began driving west. By the next afternoon, I was well into Texas on the inland route. I knew vaguely that I had to get across the border, but the actual fact that I was a criminal hadn't quite percolated yet. A few miles out of Big Spring, the weather changed and dark gray clouds replaced the blue skies. Then I came to a roadblock and I had to detour. It was a winding, makeshift road of dirt that stretched on and on for miles. I hated going so slow, but there wasn't anything I could do about it, so I switched on the radio and tried to feel comfortable and forget what I had done. Then a few drops of rain splashed against the windshield, and I hoped that I'd make the main highway before it really let loose. It was then that I heard the announcement.
This afternoon, in one of the most daring daylight holdups in Texas history, the 7th Bank of Abilene was robbed of $40,000. As far as is known, only 2 persons participated. A tall, dark-complexioned young man wearing a light gray suit and hat, and an attractive red-haired woman dressed in a green suit. In effecting their successful getaway, one of them shot and critically wounded an elderly bank guard, a veteran of World War I. The couple left in a green panel truck and are believed headed in the general direction of El Paso. More news after our next music.
Well, these were worse criminals than I was by far, and they'd made a getaway. I shut off the radio. To my right, black letters loomed suddenly against the yellow background of a sign. Midland, Odessa, Pecos. I slowed down to 30, rounding a series of blind curves. Coming around the last one, I saw a man standing in the middle of the road. I jammed down my brakes to keep from hitting him. He started walking toward me.
I'm very sorry to bother you this way, but my car is out of gas, and I was wondering, could you perhaps let me siphon a little from your tank?
Well, sorry, but I'm low myself.
Oh, please, don't be like that. I've been waiting here for hours. You're the first car I've seen. I would just take a little.
Well, I can't. Honestly, I...
All right, all right. Then perhaps you would be so kind as to give me a little lift to the next gas station?
Well...
Oh, come on now. Don't you believe in the good neighbor policy?
Well, All right, get in.
Thanks. Thanks a lot. We'll find a gas station right on here someplace. I won't even take you out of your way.
Well, that's all right. I'm going in the general direction of...
El Paso?
El Paso. It all came together suddenly. The radio announcement and this man who was just sitting down beside me. He fitted perfectly. Dark complexion, light gray suit. I glanced at the car parked by the side of the road. Yes, it was a green panel truck.
Well, señorita?
Look, I'm terribly sorry, but I don't think I can take you after all. You see, I...
Oh, now, please. I have been marooned here for 2 hours. It's very important that I get to Pecos in the next 2 hours.
Oh, and where are you going after that?
Me? I'm going to travel all over. After Pecos, I'm going to beat it down to Juarez. That's across the border. From there, we're going...
Yeah, that's what I thought.
Look, I would like to pay you for helping me.
He drew a sheaf of new bills from his pocket and dropped a fresh 20 into my lap. I opened my handbag and my fingers closed around Mr. Jensen's gun. He looked down at it.
Hey, what?
I said I've changed my mind.
Okay, okay. If that's the way you feel, I don't argue with a girl who's got a gun.
I didn't even wait for him to close the door. I let out the clutch, stepped on the gas, and got away fast. When I finally reached the highway, I speeded up still more. I'd had a bad scare. I wanted to talk to someone about anything and forget that man. Maybe that was why I was so relieved when I came to the little town of Pecos and saw the carnival a short distance ahead, and why I stopped to look at it. Even from the car, the bright lights and the people and the carousel, gaily painted horses going round and round, made me feel less lonely. I wanted to get out and mingle with the people and drink some pink lemonade and buy a red candied apple. Go in one of the midway tents and see Tortoro, the sword swallower, and Lopez, the ventriloquist. But instead, I ate a hot dog in the car and bought a silver ashtray from a little Indian girl. And a sudden burst of thunder reminded me of the approaching storm. I started the car and left the carnival behind me. Soon afterwards, it began to rain. Then a cloudburst hit. Fifteen minutes later, I spotted an auto court. As I came to a stop, a gray mustached man in a rubber hat and raincoat came out to meet me.
Hello there.
Hello. How far to El Paso, please?
Not planning to go there tonight, are you?
Well,
Oh, you never make it. A lot of bad spots in the road. I know because in rainy nights, I always pick up a lot of money pulling stalled cars out of the mud.
Well, maybe I'd better spend the night here, then, if you have a vacancy.
I got more vacancies than anything else. I'll fix you up with the best cabin on the place. I used to live in it myself. Come on, I'll show you. It's number 3.
Oh, it sounds fine. Do you mind if I use your phone first?
No, go ahead. Go ahead. There's a booth over there right next to the office.
Thank you.
I'll open your cabin door and leave the key on the dresser. You can put your car in the shed there.
I was going to phone the El Paso police and tell them where I'd last seen the man answering the description of the Abilene bank robber. I dialed and waited for her to answer.
Operator?
And then I remembered something. There should have been a woman, too. A woman with red hair, but the man had been alone.
Operator?
After all, there was more than one green truck in the world. More than one dark young man.
Operator?
And besides, I thought with a shock, I'm in no position to risk their maybe tracing the call and finding out my name and investigating me. I hung up the receiver. I went out and wheedled a cup of coffee and a donut out of my host. And then I went up to my cabin and went to bed. I woke up about 10 o'clock. A car had driven up and stopped right outside my window. The headlights were shining in. When I got up to pull down the shade, I saw the car. It was the green panel truck I'd seen on the road, and this time a woman was in the front seat. Then the proprietor and the other man came out of the cabin next to mine.
All right.
I lowered my shade and then listened to
them. I'll wait till the storm is over, and then I'll go on to El Paso. Is it all right if I leave my truck out here?
Sure. There's a garage in back if you want to use it.
No, thanks. I'll just park it here near to the door.
I heard him enter his cabin. I locked my door and sat down on the bed. It was very quiet next door. Finally, I guess I must have dozed off. But then, all of a sudden, I was awake again. Voices, a man's and a woman's, were coming from the cabin next door. I got up, opened my window very quietly, and listened.
It's mine, Jose. I don't think you had better forget that. If you do, you will be sorry, very sorry.
You are wrong, Carmencita. It will not be me who is sorry.
What do you mean?
It shouldn't be difficult for you to figure that out.
You mean... That is so funny. You couldn't get along without me. No, not even for 1 week. Not 1 week.
I would not laugh if I were you, Carmen.
Wait, Jose. Don't do it. You're just trying
After that, everything was quiet. I was stunned, frozen. Then I heard his door open. I hurried to my window and carefully raised the shade a few inches. It was quite dark, and at first I could only hear his footsteps. And then I saw him. He snapped on a flashlight, looked around with it. He was carrying a roll of blankets, and he put it down carefully in the wet grass. Then he opened the rear door of the green panel truck. There was a long, oblong box on the floor. He stooped over and lifted what I'd thought was the roll of blankets, but I was wrong. From one end, a head was visible. A woman's head, with red hair. I must have thrown up my hands and hit the window shade. It clattered to the top. In the tense silence of the night, it sounded like a machine gun. The man outside spun around.
Huh?
He trained his flashlight on me. He took a long look. Then he turned around and dropped his gruesome bundle into the oblong box. When I turned away, I couldn't look anymore. Finally, I heard him walk toward his cabin, go inside, and shut the door. Then I took a chance. I threw on my raincoat and shoes and hurried to the proprietor's office. I knocked on his door and called to him. There was no answer. So I wrote a quick note and slipped it under his door and hurried back to my cabin. I closed my door and was just fumbling with the key when the lights went on.
No use to lock it now, senorita, and don't make a noise.
He was sitting in a chair, smiling, casually pointing a gun at me, my gun that I'd foolishly left on the dresser.
You were not so very smart, were you, sweetheart? This gun, it looks nice. I think you handle it good, too. I almost found out this afternoon on the road, didn't I?
Now, look, I wasn't going to use it, honestly, but, well, you know, you read a lot in the papers about the trouble people get into picking up strangers, and
yes, Yes, sure. You're always careful. Stay out of trouble. Mind your own business. That is very good to remember,
well,
senorita.
That's all I was doing. Well, what do you want with me?
It's just too bad you looked out on me just now. I wouldn't have known you were here.
I didn't mean to spy on you. I was awake, and when I heard a noise outside, I looked out, that's all. That was natural, wasn't it?
Maybe, but it didn't turn out so good for you, did it? Come on now, we're getting out of here, and you are coming with me.
But where are we going?
Just places, senorita, just places. Come on now.
But what do you want with me? You don't want me.
Don't want you? Why, I'm crazy for you. I've been looking for you. I've been looking for somebody just like you.
Autolite is bringing you Miss Lucille Ball and Mr. Desi Arnaz in The Red-Headed Woman, tonight's production in radio's outstanding theater of thrills, Suspense.
Feeling better, Hap?
No, Harlow. I think I'll take the vacation my doctor advised.
Decided where you'll go?
Not yet.
Well, how about the Atlantic Ocean? Or the Great Lakes? Or the Mississippi River?
Say, that's a lot of water.
Right. It'll remind you of Autolite Stay Full batteries. That they have longer and larger liquid reserve above the plates as compared to ordinary batteries. Need water only 3 times a year in normal car use. Or, hey, better still, Hap, visit the zoo. See the camels. Tell them Wilcox sent you.
What? And get tossed out on my ear for suggesting that Autolite Stay Full batteries can go without water longer than camels can?
Well, tell them about those fiberglass retaining mats protecting every positive plate for longer battery life. Tell them that in recent tests based on SAE life cycle standards, Autolite Stay Full batteries gave 70% longer average life than batteries without Stay Full features. Well, wherever you go, Hap, take along an Autolite Stay Full battery. You're always right. With Autolite.
And now, Autolite brings back to our Hollywood soundstage our stars Desi Arnaz and Lucille Ball in The Red-Headed Woman, a tale well calculated to keep you in suspense.
It was quite a moment. Jose motioned with the gun for me to pick up my suitcase. And right then, the door opened and the proprietor came in.
I got your note, miss. Well, what's all this? What's the gun for, mister?
Oh, it belongs to the lady. She was just showing it to me.
Oh, yeah? Well, yes. Yes, that's right. I'll take it back now.
This man bothering you, miss? Is that why you left the note?
Yeah.
I'd remembered my position again. I'd thought of the $21,000 in my handbag. I wanted this murderer locked up, but I didn't want to risk too much investigation.
I wasn't bothering her.
No, no, I just thought I heard someone at the window. And when I couldn't find you, I went next door, and this gentleman was kind enough to...
Yeah, I guess I owe you an apology, mister, but then when I saw you with a gun...
It's okay, forget it. Forget it, amigo.
Sure. Well, good night.
All right, you. You stand over there.
Well, I guess you must be crazy for me, eh? To lie for me like you did?
No, I'm just fond of myself. Things have kind of changed, haven't they, Jose?
Oh, you know my name, too.
I know all about you.
Really? Yes, I guess things have changed.
All right, now. That was a good idea you had before about leaving here. Come on, pick up my suitcase.
Yes, ma'am. Where are we going?
Like you said, places, Jose. Just places. Now walk quietly. My car's right outside.
Anything you say, senorita.
He drove while I held the gun. After we'd gone about 5 miles, we came to a side road. I told him to turn.
It's a pretty deserted neighborhood, no?
Yes.
Please tell me, where are we going?
Oh, you're not going very far.
You know, I wish you didn't make me leave my truck back there.
Oh, you're worried about what's in that pile of blankets, huh?
Yes, that's right. Somebody might find her. Senorita, please.
Not a chance.
Oh, look, now, why don't we talk this thing over? I think maybe we could.
I'm not buying a thing.
Well, I certainly hope you know what you're doing. Uh-oh. I'm sorry, but we're stuck in the mud.
Oh, well, that's a very fancy trick, but it won't work.
You don't believe me?
No.
Well, then get out and see for yourself.
And have you drive off and leave me? Oh, no, thanks. Come on. Start the car.
But I'm telling you the truth. We're stuck in this ditch.
You better start the car, mister.
Okay, okay. Anything you say. You see?
Try it again.
All right, but it only got us in deeper.
Well... what do we do next?
You're running the show. You tell me.
Okay, I'll tell you. Get out of the car.
What do I do now?
Pick up some broken branches and put them under the wheels.
Like I said, you are running the show.
No, no, never mind. It's too dark. I can't see you. Get back in the car here.
But you give up too easy. Why don't you think of using a flashlight?
I don't have one.
Well, maybe if you ask me real nice, I will let you use mine.
Where is it?
It's here, in my coat pocket. All right, senorita, drop the gun. Quickly.
It was over in a second. Before I knew it, he'd reached in his pocket and jumped behind me. I'd forgotten the most important thing of all. I hadn't searched him. I could feel the gun against my back.
Now you're going to get into the car. Hurry.
Yes, sir.
Now you will drive for a while, no?
But I thought we were stuck.
That is exactly what I wanted you to think. Good, huh? Start a car.
You know, senorita, you should have searched me before we started.
Yes, I've already figured that out. Yeah. But this whole thing is kind of new to me.
Oh, come on. Let's quit the kidding. You know, I think you would have been very surprised if you would have searched me. You know why?
Nothing would surprise me.
Oh, I think so. Because you wouldn't have found any gun. Only this.
A flashlight.
It feels very much like a gun against your back, doesn't it? Especially when you're very frightened.
Look, let me go. I swear I'll never bother you again.
You won't bother me. Not where you're going. You won't bother anyone. Drive a little faster, please.
I drove for several miles without saying a word. Then I took a chance. I speeded up to 60, then jammed the brake to the floor.
Oh! Oh!
Jose's head banged against the windshield. He dropped the gun. I grabbed it almost before it hit the floorboard. Now, out again, Mr. Finnegan. We're going to change seats.
Oh, my head. That was very smart, baby. Very smart.
And almost as good as your flashlight gun trick, hmm?
It's better. Your trick wins. Oh, well. What cooks now?
We're heading straight into El Paso Police Department.
But But, baby, you can't do that.
Why can't I?
Because it's too foolish. And the senorita is not a fool.
No, the senorita isn't. That's why you're driving straight to El Paso and the police.
Yes, ma'am. Whatever you say. I certainly hope you know what you're doing.
Now, the senorita has learned a lot in the last few hours. Drive carefully. He shrugged his shoulders and settled back behind the wheel. I decided I'd been needlessly concerned about the police. After all, no one knew I had the $21,000 in my handbag. No one even knew it was missing. When I handed the police the man they were looking for, they wouldn't bother about me. They would accept my statement that I was just a secretary on my way to Mexico for a vacation. As we entered the outskirts of El Paso, I switched on the radio and settled back to enjoy it.
And now our Texas roundup of the latest Texas news. Texans who expect quick and speedy action when it comes to lawbreakers in our state won't be disappointed when they hear the outcome of the bank holdup and killing of a guard in Abilene 2 days ago.
What's that?
Be quiet, listen.
Manuel Milani, a non-Texan, and Betty Murphy, a red-haired Californian, were apprehended today in Big Spring, only 61 hours after their spectacular holdup of the 7th Bank of Abilene. Both freely confessed to the crime. The bravery of our Texas...
Hey, wait a minute.
You wait a minute. Stop the car. Now, I don't believe it.
Neither do I.
You don't? All right, then. Who was it you killed?
Me? I didn't kill anybody.
Oh, stop it. It was your accomplice. I heard the argument, and then you killed her, and then you...
Oh, you're crazy.
What do you mean, I'm crazy? Right this minute, there's a red-haired woman dead in the back of your truck.
What the... Oh. Oh, boy, that's a good one. You know, you're right. You did hear an argument, and you did see me put a red-haired woman in the trunk.
She was dead.
Yes, that's right. She has been dead all her life.
She's...
The argument, as you say you heard, went something like this.
Half of the money, it is mine, Jose. I don't think you had better forget that. If you do, you will be sorry, very sorry.
You are wrong, Carmencita. I will not be me that is sorry.
You couldn't get by without me. No, not even for 1 week. Not 1 week!
For heaven's sake. A ventriloquist.
What do you mean, a ventriloquist? I am the best. Jose Lopez, the great.
Oh, what a relief.
Your relief? What about me? I thought the whole time, here I am traveling with a criminal.
Me? How could you think that I was a...
Why not? You got the red hair. You're wearing the green suit. Just like the description. Hey, listen, there's only one other thing that is confusing me.
What's that?
How come you carry such a big bankroll? All these thousands of dollars in your purse.
Well, I,
Yes?
Well, you... Oh, what's the use? I might as well tell you the whole story. And you know, I found myself doing it. And Jose explained to me how silly I'd been to ever try such a thing. And then it struck us that it was still only the 13th of the month. So we drove back to Kansas City together. I put the money back and the payroll went off just like it always does. And oh, that Jose, he's so cute and so wonderful.
Hey, baby, come on, hurry up with that dinner, will
yes,
you?
Yes, Jose, dear.
Hey, what are we going to eat tonight, baby? And it better be something good, you know. A husband can testify against his wife.
Same as usual, amigo baby. Enchiladas with tacos and hot sauce.
Yum, yum,
chili
yum.
With tomato. Mm.
Suspense, presented by Autolite. Tonight's stars, Lucille Ball and Desi Arnaz.
Lucille, I heard your radio show last Friday night.
Like it?
Sure, a swell show.
Mind if I got in?
Of course not, Desi.
I warn you, Desi, Harlow will try to sell you an Autolite Stay Full battery.
Oh, me, I'm sold already. That's just what I was going to tell Harlow. His product is terrific.
Why, thanks, Desi and Lucille. Autolite Stay Full batteries are, as Desi says, terrific. They need water only 3 times a year in normal car use. Yes, sir, their extra liquid load above the plates as compared to ordinary batteries helps lick a leading cause of battery failure. Autolite Stay Full batteries are just one of more than 400 products Autolite makes for cars, trucks, planes, and boats in 28 plants coast to coast. These include complete electrical systems used as original equipment on many makes of America's finest cars and trucks. Batteries, spark plugs, coils, distributors, starting motors, bullseye sealed beam headlight units. All engineered to fit together perfectly, work together perfectly, because they're a perfect team. So, folks, don't accept electrical parts supposed to be as good. Ask for and insist on Autolite original factory parts at your neighborhood service station, car dealer, garage, or repair shop. Remember, you're always right with Autolite. Next Thursday for Suspense, Burt Lancaster will be our star. The play is called The Long Wait, and it is, as we say,
a tale well calculated to keep you in suspense.
Tonight's Suspense play was produced and edited by William Spear and directed by Norman MacDonald. Music for Suspense is composed by Lucian Morawek and conducted by Lud Gluskin. The Red-Headed Woman is an original play by Nancy J. Cleveland. Lucille Ball will soon be seen, co-starred with Bob Hope in the Paramount picture Fancy Pants, and may be heard in her own Jell-O show, My Favorite Husband, every Friday night over most of these same CBS stations. In the coming weeks, you will hear such stars as Burt Lancaster, Mickey Rooney, and Lana Turner. Don't forget, next Thursday, same time, Autolite will present Suspense, starring Burt Lancaster.
You can buy Autolite Stay-Full batteries, Autolite resistor spark plugs, Autolite electrical parts at your neighborhood Autolite dealers. Switch to Autolite. Good night.
This is CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System.
Are you looking for a volunteer opportunity that fits your schedule? Being a big sister takes less time than you think, and you can choose the volunteer opportunity that fits your life. Spend just 1 hour a week as a study buddy, tutor, or 2 hours a week as a big sister. Check out the various mentoring programs at Big Sisters of BC Lower Mainland and find a volunteer position and a little sister that will suit you to a T. Visit bigsisters.bc.ca for more information today.
And welcome back to us here at CITR 101.9 FM in Skull's Hall. And that was Tales of Suspense, The Redheaded Woman with Lucille Ball and Desi Arnaz, who you may or may not recognize from the I Love Lucy show. She only was one of the biggest TV stars of the golden age of television. And like many actors at the time, they also did radio plays. It was simply a thing that was done once upon a time in a bygone era. And just a quick note so that everybody knows, the Creative Commons license that allows us to broadcast these radio dramas, which are now in the public domain, requires that we do not edit them. So you get to listen to a bunch of ads for businesses and products that have long since gone defunct. Those should be fairly obvious as curiosities of time rather than genuine ads, however, because we do not employ professional radio announcers from the 50s here at CITR 101.9 FM. We lack time displacement equipment to do so. And so a couple of housekeeping notes, a congratulatory announcement to the successful fundraising project for the Standard Action web series is in order. Their Kickstarter project to raise money to do their season 3 has ended just earlier today, so we are just a few hours short of giving a last minute warning to go in and pledge. Their Kickstarter ended in the morning, and it is now almost 2 o'clock in the afternoon, so there is no option any longer to support them. However, you can go onto their webpage, Standard Action. You can take a look at things, and they've reached a number of their stretch goals. I believe they're going to have at least 5 episodes now, and so and a number of guest stars. You can check out exactly what they have upcoming on the Kickstarter page now that things have been finalized. They put up several updates, they believe about 4 in the last day, so you can check those out. In the coming weeks, we are not going to be having as many guests. I am going to be involved in a very intensive training course that's going to last from before sunup and until after sundown for the next few weeks. So our shows here at Skull's Hall are going to be on, but they're going to be pre-recorded, and I don't have time to track down or spend the hours editing interviews, and so we're going to return with guests starting next month, and hopefully to kick that off, a couple of other announcements. Two anime conventions coming up in the Vancouver area. In June, Anime Evolution, and in August, Anime Revolution. Those two are coming up, and so if you are fans of anything from the Constitutional Monarchy of the Rising Sun, as I am, because I lived there for 10 years, you might want to check it out. We here at CITR 101.9 FM, if at all possible, will attempt to cover... At least I will, at Skull's Hall, attempt to cover, and if possible, interview some of the voiceover talent that will be in town for those particular events. We've sent off for press passes for those events, and if we get them, then hopefully we'll be able to cover some of the guests they will have and interview them for our show. And so that would be a great way to start our guest lineup coming up for us beginning with next month. And even if that doesn't happen, the conventions most certainly will. And you can go online now and pre-register for them. Yes, there are two, and yes, their names are only one letter in difference. What is the difference? I'm not certain beyond the fact that they have different events, different guests, and no, there's no overlap in the guests. So you will get a different experience if you go to each or either one. One of them is in the town, and one of them is up here, right here in UBC. And so if you come onto campus at all, that one might be a little bit more convenient. And if you don't, Anime Revolution in town might be a little bit more convenient. It will be up to the individual, of course. And lots of other things will be happening as well. They always have things like vendors and events. And if you are artistically inclined, and here's a little tidbit, if you are artistically inclined and you make things like music videos, edited together music videos. They used to be called AMVs, which would fit for an anime convention. Those would be anime music videos or sometimes animated music videos. Just basically, I think in modern times you can think of them as like YouTube mashup music videos. I remember back in like 2003 when there was no YouTube and these things had to be hosted on sites that were specific for them. There was one, it was like AMV database or AMV Haven or something like that. I don't even know if it's still there, but I remember belonging to it in 2003. And so they only had anime ones. There was a database searchable by show or by musical artist or things like that back in the good old days of song piracy. However, these things are unique artistic productions and are covered under the United States version, at least, of copyright laws. They're also, incidentally, if you're interested in tidbits, covered under the Japanese copyright laws as well, for, you know, transformative, unique productions and things like that. So host your stuff in one of those two countries, and it's perfectly legal. Well, anyway, they're having contests for animated music videos. And so if you are inclined to be creative in that way, you may as well try to subscribe. You may as well try to submit something to those particular contests. And I believe they also have things, at least one of them is having a cosplay competition and things like that. So if the sewing box is your weapon of choice in terms of creative endeavor, then there you go. Find a character whose costume can actually exist in three dimensions, which is not everybody's, by the way, and go nuts. See what you can come up with. I went to a convention last month, which was more general. It was simply the Vancouver Fan Expo, and there were several costumes there that were quite good. There was one fellow who had actually forged his own Witch King of Agmar armor, and it looked quite impressive, I must tell you. And then, of course, there were other people like the 501st Imperial Legion and the BC Ghostbusters, who always have really good costumes as well, but they have a little bit more of a... backing. Amateur costumes are also typically can also be quite awesome. There was a really good Master Chief from the Halo series there, and several others as well. And so if this is your cup of tea in the least, you might want to be checking those two out. Hopefully we will be there in our official capacity to do exactly the same. And so that will be just about us for Skull's Hall. Coming up next will be Radio Zero with Tyler and Cam. They will and should be coming up next. And that is us for Scald's Hall this week at CITR 101.9 FM. We will be back next week, thanks to the lovely abilities of technology. However, our shows will be a little bit more entertainment focused for the next few weeks because the writer, producer, director, etc. of this show is going to be busy. But never fear, they will be back. Our guests will be back. And if you would like to be on the show, if you do something, are a poet, are an author, are a voiceover actor, are somebody who does stuff that can and will be enjoyed in a radio broadcast, just drop us a line at scaldshall@gmail.com and you can join our lineup. So, see you next week and enjoy.